What's with the obsession with fragrance? From laundry boosters to teen boys spritzing themselves with pricey colognes, signature scents are everywhere. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about the science behind scents and whether perfumes can be toxic are cosmetic chemist and University of Cincinnati adjunct instructor of cosmetic science, Kelly Dobos. Thanks for being here, Kelly.
Hi, Lucy. Thanks for having me back.
And Vox senior correspondent, Anna North. Welcome back, Anna.
Thanks so much for having me.
Anna, I don't have any preteen or teenage boys living at my house, but I hear many of them are really into cologne these days, and I have smelled proof of that at the mall. What is going on?
Yeah, so it's definitely a bit of an emerging trend, or maybe even a trend that's been around for a while. Millennials certainly will remember Axe body spray, so it's not necessarily new for boys to use fragrances. However, we're really seeing an uptick, I think, both in the interest that some young boys have in fragrance, and also just in the amount of money that kids and households with kids are spending on beauty and fragrance more generally. So we're seeing these beauty companies increasingly market products, including fragrance products, to kids really as young as babies. And I think that affects, what families and children buy.
Wow, marketing to babies. So Anna, is this boys latching on to this trend, or do you think there are parents and teachers kind of fueling or encouraging this by lecturing kids about how they smell?
I guess I haven't done a survey of parents and teachers on this, but I would doubt that it's coming from adults telling kids they need to smell better. And my assumption is really more that, beauty companies have found really a way to grow the market by having it go younger. I recently interviewed Jessica DeFino, who's a really wonderful beauty reporter. She mentioned, beauty companies really looking both older and younger to expand their markets. So increasing marketing to, say, women in their 70s, and then also to parents of toddlers and babies. And I think rolled into that, we see sort of outreach to teens and preteens saying, don't just wear deodorant, here are all the ways you could smell. And I think that boys do pick up on advertising and get that ball rolling themselves too.
So Kelly, going beyond perfume and cologne, are we finding more ways to introduce fragrance into our lives? I'm thinking like laundry boosters, these home plugins and sprays. Are there just more and more ways to introduce fragrance?
Fragrance is a really important part of our experience in using a product. And certainly fragrance is really associated with our emotional responses because the olfactory bulb in our brain is really connected to our limbic system, which is, what recognizes emotions and memories. So fragrance has a really strong connection to our emotions. And I think a lot of times when we're trying to, especially if you think back to pandemic, fragrance really soared under pandemic times when people were looking for ways to calm and soothe themselves. So I think fragrance has that really important aspect in our everyday lives.
Well, and smell is such a powerful sense. I mean, I've met people, Kelly, who say, I picked my life partner partly based on how that person smelled, But can the perfumes and lotions that so many of us use be bad for us?
Well, fragrance chemicals are often referred to as volatile organic compounds, VOCs. And that's because in order for us to be able to smell them, they need to volatilize into the air so that the receptors in our nose can recognize them. And some of these VOCs can be irritating to people who have respiratory conditions like asthma, or they can be irritating when applied on the skin or cause an allergic reaction. But, those allergic reactions, for example, really only occur in about maybe 2 to 5% of the general population. And there's a lot of data prepared by organizations like there's the International Fragrance Association, IFRA, if you've ever seen that term. And IFRA relies on data created by another group called RIFM, which is the Research Institute of Fragrance Materials, RIFM. And that group studies all types of safety data for fragrance components, including respiratory, skin, even environmental toxicology. So RIFRA informs, RIFM informs IFRA, and companies that make fragrance products really rely on that information to utilize fragrance safely in the products. So there's all these layers of safety substantiation that should be involved in fragrancing a product.
Yeah, that makes sense. It'd be bad for business if you were making your customers sick with your fragrance,
right.
I guess.
Right.
We're talking about the science behind fragrance and whether some perfumes can be toxic. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Kelly, you were talking about these volatile organic compounds. What are some of the chemicals used for these fragrances? What are they having reactions with our bodies?
So there's about 3,500 chemicals that we know are used in fragrances.
And we'll just go through every one of them. Just kidding. No, we'll do that.
So, but we do know that specific chemicals can be allergenic because we have a dearth of history on them. And there's about 26 that you might see on a label on an ingredient statement. And those are things like you might see linalool, which is a component of lavender, or limonene, which is a component of citrus oils like grapefruit and lime. So those ingredients will actually be listed out on any product that would be maybe a cosmetic. You might not see those listed out on something like a reed diffuser or a candle. So those are, you know, different situations where you have to look at, maybe look a little more deeply at the company that's selling them.
Hmm. Well, what about, you mentioned these reed diffusers, they're also scented candles, they're air fresheners, they're those wax melts. With those kinds of products, are we polluting the air we breathe because we want it to smell better?
So certainly with candles, you're combusting some of those materials. So you're creating different compounds as well. So, you know, you really want to be careful with indoor air quality when you're using so many fragrance components, especially combustible ones like the candles. So you want to make sure it's well ventilated. And, you know, those are other situations like the reed diffusers and things. I'm not as clear on how those are affecting our indoor air quality, but certainly something to take a look into by looking at information from IFRA for that.
Yeah. And Kelly, I read about this Penn State study that found fragrances and lotions can actually influence the air chemistry around us. Have you heard anything about that? What can you tell us about that?
So your body, actually, the oils on your skin can actually contribute to the volatile organic components in the room around you. So those skin oils are oxidizing, and your fragrance as well that you put on the skin can also impact the volatile organic components in the room around you. So you really want to be cognizant of how much fragrance you're wearing. Most body care products, though, like a lotion or a cream, are going to have maybe 0.5% or less of a fragrance, whereas something like a perfume, you know, is going to maybe have 20%, or a body spray is going to be more like 10%. So it's really looking at the type of product you're using and how much of those fragrance components it will have.
The oils in your skin, is that why some perfumes smell so good on one person and so terrible on another? We're interacting with them differently?
Of course, your individual chemistry is going to play a role in how a fragrance smells. And, you know, biologically, we have two different types of sweat as humans. There's eccrine sweat and apocrine sweat. And apocrine sweat is the sweat that's, you know, I always remember is apocrine armpits. That's where most of your apocrine glands are, but there's some elsewhere as well. But that sweat tends to be the stinkier sweat. And the sweat doesn't smell until the microbes on your skin start metabolizing it. So we all have individual, you know, odors based on all of these different, you know, complex interactions happening in our skin.
You just rocked my world. I had no idea we had all had two different kinds of sweat. Anna, fragrance has become such a huge business. I've seen estimates that it's expected to generate more than $60 billion in revenue this year alone. Do you think that explains why we're just being surrounded by all these smells?
Yeah, you know, I think it's both just the sheer popularity of fragrance, the fact that this is a growing, really growing part of the beauty industry. You know, I do think we have seen beauty really expand. As you know, we talked about young boys and young men sort of at the beginning of this segment. And I think we have seen the beauty industry generally really trying to expand into that demographic, which wasn't always particularly served by beauty in the past. You know, and in some ways, it's like it's, you know, nice for boys and young men to be able to think about some of the same things that girls and women think about. And on the other hand, we're also seeing the same kind of commercialization that we've seen for teen girls and young women since time immemorial, now applied, you know, increasingly to boys. And you're seeing boys take this up, you know, having TikToks about smell maxing or all these kinds of things. So, you know, I think this is a huge market. And I think within that market, there just have been, you know, more and more segments that marketers are finding to be able to sell products to.
Again, we're talking about the science behind fragrance, and you can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Anna, we've been talking about the trends with boys and young men when it comes to scents, but there are also these skincare routines that younger and younger girls are adopting. What can you tell us about that? That sounds like it could get real expensive real fast.
Yeah, I mean, I always hate to be sort of alarmist about things like this, but I will say I was pretty sobered by my recent interview with Jessica DeFino about this question. She pointed out a recent study out of Northwestern, you know, just going through some of the skincare routines that preteen or teen girls are doing, like on TikTok and posting them, and finding that those skincare routines could actually contain a number of, you know, chemicals or compounds that could be really sensitizing to the skin, that could cause, you know, anywhere from acne to dermatitis to eczema to more difficult issues. So it is the case that, you know, younger skin is potentially more sensitive to some of these products. A lot of folks would argue that nobody maybe needs to be putting anti-aging products on their skin, but certainly someone that's 12 years old does not need that. And so, you know, if we're seeing these kinds of routines become more mainstream, we're also going to see a lot of skin problems, unfortunately, become more mainstream too. And obviously the expense, as you say, is a big issue, whether that's the family shouldering that or, you know, young girls and teens paying for that themselves.
What do you think about that, Kelly? I mean, first of all, just these very young people, I would imagine our skin changes as we age and it changes how it reacts. I know my skin is certainly very different now than it was 20 or 30 years ago. What difference does it make if a really young person is using these things with these ingredients and then that are designed for maybe older people?
Sure. I think, you know, our skin barrier does change as we age, certainly. And I think for young children to be using some of these products that are targeted at adults, it can be really problematic. But that's not to say that I don't think there is a need for some skincare. And I'm going to borrow a phrase from one of my colleagues at UC, Marty Vischer. She says, skincare is healthcare. And so while, you know, children may not need, you know, these 10-step beauty regimens with products that have, you know, ingredients that are supposed to help smooth wrinkles, you know, children should be, you know, aware of wearing sunscreen and things on a regular basis. So it's not to say that all skincare is bad, but we really need to be careful on what types of products we are letting our children use because they do have, you know, differences in their skin compared to adults.
Yeah. So controversial question, Kelly. Anna just said some people would argue that nobody needs anti-aging products. What do you think?
So, you know, myself, you know, I do use products that would be considered anti-aging, but my perspective is that I am well aging, right? I'm wearing sunscreen on a regular basis. I'm using retinol, and it's because I want to take care of my skin and keep it healthy as long as I can, not necessarily that I'm trying to reverse or look 20 years younger.
Mm-hmm. Well, good to know. So, Anna, what do you think? This, you know, Kelly was talking about the strong emotional impact that scent can have. Do you think that connection to emotion is helping to fuel this market and attracting so many of us to all these different scents and especially bringing young boys and young men into that sphere?
You know, I do think emotion has a lot to do with it. I will say, like, I'm wearing perfume right now. You know, and I love scented candles. So yeah, I have emotional attachments to scents, absolutely. You know, I think, again, that the problem comes sort of the younger and younger we go. So if we think about, for example, you know, scented products and fragrances being developed and marketed really for toddlers and babies, you know, like I have a toddler who has eczema. So I have to try really, really hard to make sure that everything that I put on his body has to be fragrance free. And so I am disturbed by the idea of, you know, taking a really small baby and thinking like, you know, I'm going to make this baby smell better. You know, that could potentially be sensitizing to the baby, you know, or contribute to eczema later on. And certainly for children who already have eczema, it's an issue. So really, I think, you know, we're never going to disentangle scent from emotion. I think that's absolutely true. You know, but I think we can be mindful about, you know, whose skin is equipped to handle what and how we can maybe access those emotions in other ways.
We've got an email from a listener who writes, I think the idea that you have to spray deodorant behind your knees is absolutely absurd. I have not heard that, Kelly. Have you heard this idea of, I mean, do we get stinky sweat behind our knees?
So there's a whole new category of product that's shown up, whole body deodorants that you can apply to your entire body. And, you know, the reality is, do you need deodorant over your whole body? And it's, you know, my take on this is probably not. But, you know, if you're really looking to try to decrease the perspiration and the odor, you know, you really want to use an antiperspirant rather than a deodorant, which is just covering with fragrance.
Okay. We do have a caller on the line. Hey, Ginger, thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hi, thank you very much. Yes, I had a question about essential oils. I like to use lavender a lot. I've heard that sometimes you should make sure you use a carrier oil with them. I sometimes put the lavender oil directly on my skin. I've never had any problems with that. So I had some questions about that. Also, can you suggest any other fragrances other than lavender, which I use to help with sleep? And thank you for doing this.
Thanks, Ginger. What do you think, Kelly? Are those essential oils a safer way to go if you want fragrance? Should you apply them directly under your skin? What can you tell us about that?
So essential oils are what we call complex fragrance substances, and there's really just about as many chemicals in an essential oil, if not more, than in a fragrance that you would buy as a perfume. And the difficulty with those natural fragrances is they can vary in their composition over time because it's a natural material. But an example, a fragrance chemical I mentioned earlier, linalool, is a component of lavender that can be allergenic. But allergic reaction is an immune-mediated response, and it's very individual-specific. So if the caller hasn't reacted to lavender in the past, she likely won't have that reaction to it. But you using a carrier oil will help dilute it as well. So you're reducing the total concentration, and that can be helpful.
Hmm. Are there other essential oils? Ginger mentioned that she uses it sometimes to help her sleep. Are there other benefits to essential oils that people swear by?
There are essential oils that people use. They say they're energizing fragrances like citrus and mint. So it really, I think, also depends on your emotional connection to the fragrance, too, what benefit it has. But I think we know lavender historically also has a long association with soothing and calming.
Okay. Well, Ginger, thanks so much. We appreciate that call. Thanks for listening. We got an email from Deb. Why do they add pseudo-pleasant fragrances to all kinds of plastic bags and to other products that normally wouldn't have that kind of scent? It's as if they're trying to disguise the actual scent. Seems gratuitously toxic to try to avoid. I try to avoid buying and using them, and it's difficult. Have you found that, Kelly, are scents being added to things like even bags?
Yeah, I think you've seen probably trash bags have a fragrance in them now. And, you know, a lot of times fragrance can be used to mask odors. So they're, you know, using it to mask the smell of the garbage. So we see fragrance even show up in hotels, you know, stores in the mall use fragrance. They're, again, trying to, in those situations, make that emotional connection with the fragrance. So we do see fragrance everywhere.
Yeah. First time I ever went to Las Vegas, every casino hotel we walked through had a different smell just being piped into the, it felt like we were walking through smell. So I understand what you're saying there. Anna, you mentioned your toddler who has eczema. Are there plenty of scent-free options that you think parents and people who are sensitive to fragrance can use out there? I mean, you don't have to buy something that's heavily scented, right?
You can definitely find scent-free options, especially marketed toward babies and toddlers. There are soaps, there are lotions. There's almost always a fragrance-free option. It is tricky, though, because even products that are marketed as being very gentle or for sensitive skin sometimes do have fragrance. So it is the situation where people really have to find themselves reading labels and being pretty careful. Otherwise, they're going to end up with something. And it's likely not going to be a crisis, but it might be something that, you could be sensitive to.
Yeah. Kelly, can people who experience migraines be especially sensitive to fragrance? Have you looked into that at all?
I haven't personally looked into that, but I know that, fragrance sensitivity for people who do have migraines or other respiratory disorders as well will have reaction to fragrance.
Yeah. And I guess that's very individualized too, depending on. So Kelly, when you're looking, we were just talking about these unscented products and products that are supposed to be for people with sensitive skin, that sort of thing. Are there ingredients that people can typically look for if they're, that they can be aware that are more likely to be problems for people than others?
Yeah, so I mentioned the list of known allergens, and good reputable companies will. It is not a rule in the United States; it is in the European Union currently. They are writing this rule in the United States, or should be, and that requires that these allergens, these known allergens, are placed on the label. So if you go to the end of the ingredient statement, you'll see things like, again, that limonene, linalool, citral, and you can look up that list of allergens, and we put those on the label so that consumers can do that research. And here's where I think it's important to mention, too, if you think you have a sensitivity to a fragrance chemical, you can get tested with a fragrance panel at a dermatologist so that you know, and then you can look on the label to avoid these materials. And that's really helpful when you're shopping.
Oh, yeah. Smart idea. So, Anna, I know you've said you've got a toddler, so you might not be in this world yet. But what's a parent to do if they're facing the unyielding pressure from these teens or kids to buy these fragrances that are out there that are being marketed to them?
Yeah, I think it's really hard because the last thing that teenagers and even preteens want is to take advice from adults, and I will say I have an older child, but he's only 7. And so, I have yet to be truly initiated into the world of like teaching my kids TikTok media literacy, but I know it's coming, and I think we can model with our own behavior, just being critical of marketing messages and being critical of messages that tell us that we need to look a different way or that there's something wrong with our bodies and wrong with our skin. I think it's absolutely true that skincare is healthcare. So, it makes perfect sense to use sunscreen and products that keep your skin healthy. But I think, we can model ourselves, and I try to do this with my kids, even though they're young, just saying, if somebody, a big company or an advertiser, an influencer is telling me that there's something wrong with the way that I look or that I need to be different, just really questioning that and asking, is that right?
Well, I've been talking with cosmetic chemist and University of Cincinnati adjunct instructor of cosmetic science, Kelly Dobos, and Vox senior correspondent, Anna Nord. Thank you both so much for your time today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. And Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.